Are the ungodly in Psalm 1 also unsaved? That's the question we're going to tackle on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hey, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Glad you're along for the ride. Now, I'd like to remind you about our national conference, which is coming up on October 26th through October 29th. The Grace Evangelical National Conference is one of my favorite things we do all year. And this year it's happening at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. To find out more about that, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are taking your questions. Send them to radio at faithalone.org. The first question comes to us from Florin. And Florin asks, are the ungodly in Psalm 1 unsaved?
Now, that is a really good question. You want to read Psalm 1? And
it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There they are.
There's the ungodly.
Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All right, so this is a contrast between two different ways of life.
Exactly, and wasn't there a book, was it Watchman Nee that wrote Walk, Stand, Sit?
Sit, Walk, Stand, I think.
Oh, Sit, Walk, Stand, uh-huh. Yeah. It's based on verse 1, who walks not in the counsel. Of course, if you're walking, that's one level of familiarity.
Right.
Nor stands in the path of sinners. That's, to some degree, more familiar. And then sits in the counsel of the scornful. It's even more familiar. The idea is the blessed man is the man who is not associated with the ungodly and the ways of the ungodly.
And by the way, I think that's kind of a key issue here, because the issue, he's not saying the saved man.
Exactly. The issue is not everlasting life versus not everlasting life. It's blessed versus not blessed. Many people think that the first psalm is there for a reason, because the Jewish people put the psalms together in a particular order, and the first psalm was picked because it basically well introduced the Psalter. Many suggest that the person this is talking about ultimately is Messiah, that this ultimately looks at Jesus.
Now, really? Okay.
Of course, it would be true of anyone living a Christ-like life, but the point is the ultimate blessed one is Jesus.
Interesting.
But as you mentioned, the ungodly are found in verse 1 along with synonyms, sinners, scornful. And then in 4, 5, you pick up the ungodly, and again, they're called sinners again. And in 6, you have both the righteous and the ungodly. And I'm sure you, like I, have heard lots of messages where people will preach this psalm, and they will say, so you want to be a righteous person so that when you're at the great white throne judgment, you can stand.
Right, yeah, in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. What does that mean? What judgment is in view?
Right.
And what does it mean to be able to stand there? Stand like and say, aha, I'm going to be vindicated.
Right. Vindication is a good word there. And notice this is parallel with nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, when you have a gathering of righteous people, a righteous person fits well within that gathering, right, but someone who is ungodly doesn't. And so the point of this psalm is not who's born again and who's not. It's writing to Israel, although it would apply to everyone in the world. It's saying that those Jews who are living righteously are blessed. And if the nation is living righteously, the whole nation is blessed.
Right.
But if a given Jew is living unrighteously, then he's cursed. For example, remember Achan? There was a man named Achan who took one of the forbidden items. It was a banned item, actually several banned items, He hid it.
Right.
And they basically cast lots and found it came down to him.
They narrowed it down to him, to his tribe, him individually. And it was under his tent, right?
Right. And so he ended up dying.
Right. They killed him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as a result, Achan was an example of someone who was ungodly in that incident. It didn't mean he was permanently ungodly. It meant he was ungodly in that particular case.
And so when the psalmist talks about they're like the chaff which the wind drives away, where is that happening? Is that happening in hell? Are they burning up in hell? Or is this kind of like a temporal judgment? Or what do you think?
Well, I think it is temporal judgment. And I think all of this is looking at temporal judgment. However, it would, we know from later teaching, both in the Old and New Testament, that God rewards faithfulness in the life to come.
Mm-hmm.
It would carry over in the sense that the person who is ungodly in this life, if they're a believer,
right,
is going to experience consequences at the judgment seat of Christ and going to have less eternal rewards and even be rebuked by Christ. But the point is, this isn't saying that the ungodly are born again or not born again.
Mm.
Obviously, most ungodly are not born again people. But to say that all of the sinners, the ungodly, are unregenerate would be wrong. I mean, for example, we mentioned Achan. How about King David? Well, he commits adultery, and then to cover it up, has Uriah murdered, the husband of Bathsheba. That was certainly an ungodly episode in David's life.
So basically anyone, certainly unbelievers, but
right,
even believers can have extended, maybe momentary, but even extended periods of being that ungodly person.
Exactly. And we see that in both the Old and the New Testament, that believers sometimes fall away. It's sometimes called backsliding. And believers sometimes experience times when they're not walking with the Lord. Sometimes believers even die in that state.
Well, we had been working from home from between April to June.
Or even mid-March.
But during that time, it was very tough for me in the sense that I was with my kids all the time. And they were stepping on every single nerve that I had. And I'm pretty sure I was stepping on their nerves too. But it was like a pressure cooker.
Right.
And I got to tell you, every single day, I was getting angry, and every single day I had to go to my kids and apologize. And I kind of felt like I felt very convicted that, man, I am getting angry a lot. I'm getting frustrated a lot. I am not acting in a godly way to my kids during these months. And I'm so glad to be back in the office.
Right.
But it just emphasizes to me that it's not just hypothetical that people can go through. It's not just this other person that can be ungodly. It's me. It's
right.
Me. It's right now. That's something that I have to choose every single day.
Right. No, exactly. However, I would say, and your kids are what? I guess Daphne will be 8 coming up in November, 8, 6, and 4.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, that's a hard time when you've got small children, especially if you're having to work out of the home and the kids can come into your office even though they're told not to.
Oh, absolutely. Multiple times.
Right.
Many, many, many times.
But I would say you were an example of the righteous man during this time.
Oh, no,
because
I wasn't.
No, look, even though you were doing some things that were wrong, you were confessing your sins, you were even going to your children asking for forgiveness. I mean, how many children, when they grow up, can say, I remember Dad coming to me and saying, I'm sorry, son, I'm sorry, daughter, please forgive me. I don't remember that in my childhood, and I think lots of people can't. So I think a godly person is not a sinless person. A godly person is not a person who does everything right. A godly person is one who is walking in the counsel of God,
right,
and that involves confessing our sins.
Right.
But it doesn't mean we never get upset and we never
right.
do the wrong thing. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there with you. Maybe you did completely
You're
come
lucky.
Off the handle.
You're lucky you weren't there.
All right.
But isn't it interesting, though, that the difference, what's the difference between the blessed man and the ungodly man? It comes down to the Word of God.
It does come down to the Word of God, and you see the same thing, of course, in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5, 3-11, Jesus has these, blessed are you, all the way through.
Right.
And, of course, you have wisdom literature in Proverbs, for example, in
right.
the book of James is wisdom literature.
I mean, listen to what he says. This is the characteristic of the blessed man, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Word of God. His delight is in the Bible. He loves reading about the mind of God, and he meditates on it day and night. This is not like a 5-minute devotion in the morning. He is soaking in the Word of God. The Word of God is permeating his thinking, and that in turn will influence his actions.
And that's Romans 12 too, right? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
And same thing, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image.
Right. So Paul talks about the transformation, and the psalmist talks about being like a tree by water, bringing forth fruit, that fruitfulness. It's like your life is producing good things for the people around you. It's
right.
Achieving its true potential. A fruit tree is designed to produce fruit. So if it doesn't produce fruit, it's missing out on what it was designed to do. And we were designed to produce fruit. But the only way to do that is to have the Word of God transform us.
Right. And in the Gospel of John, in the Upper Room Discourse, as well as in 1 John, this theme is called the abiding theme, where we abide in Christ and his word abides in us.
Mm.
You'll remember in John 8, he said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, you will be my disciples indeed.
What's the takeaway here for people who want to be blessed instead of want to be ungodly?
Well, as we saw at the very beginning, don't make your close friends ungodly people. Don't be hanging out with the ungodly, because if you hang out with the ungodly, you're going to experience them influencing you.
It's their counsel,
right.
Their word,
right,
that's going to be transformed.
So instead, you want to hang out with the godly. You want to be around people in church. It doesn't mean we don't evangelize, we don't have unbelieving friends, but it means the people who are having the influence on us are people at church, the pastor at our church, the elders at our church, our friends, and who are believing friends. And so the Word of God is impacting us, and that's the takeaway, is that we want to be the blessed person, we need to abide in God's Word, and God's Word needs to abide in us.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Bob, and thank you for the question, Florin. Keep on sending them to us. We love hearing from you. Send your questions on the Bible or theology to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what we are guaranteed in eternity. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.